this one moment, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis is going to serve as your lead at this time. So next voice you will hear will be the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis. So hold on, sir.
Thank you, sir. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
My name is Harambe Scott Barnes. I'm 46.
And the ABC number, sir?
170234.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on May 15, 2018. Is that correct, Mr. Vaughn?
Yes.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Who is your attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I represent myself.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. You cannot see us as this is a telephonic hearing, but in the room we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. White, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Good morning to you all.
Thank you. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Bond and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and so you affirm?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you.
I do.
Mr. Vaughn, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding whether supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Vaughn. I will now begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse within the range of temporary falls. Violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report him for a face-to-face contact visit on or about April 16, 2018, as written directed on April 15, 2018. You were actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Vaughn, is this true or false?
True.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Vaughn's admission, I move to find him delinquent, as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree. I believe that was seconded by Mr. Neal. It was seconded at the same time by Ms. Whitehouse, but I'll say seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Whitehouse. Okay, Mr. Vaughn, we're going to continue the second phase of your hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly for questions, and we'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Mr. Turner.
Mr. Vaughn was released from AEC custody on 4-4-2018 and arrested on 4-30-2018 by AEC on a tech warrant, no new charges. Returned back to AEC custody on 4-30-2018 with an adjusted CSED of 10-17-2018 with 14 days of scout time. Current conviction, 2016 aggravated domestic violence, 2 years, 3 months. Prior convictions, 1998, endangerment, 6 months. 2002, aggravated DUI, 2 years, 6 months. 2007, theft means of transportation, 2 years, 6 months. 2012, aggravated domestic violence, 1 year, 6 months. This is his fourth term in the ADC. He has a CUIR score of 2-1. mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. No STG information is noted. Prior term to supervision, 2004, TIS release completed 8 months. 2009, TIS release absconded for 16 days, arrested, reached CSED, in custody. 2014, TIS release absconded for 247 days, arrested and revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is significant with drugs in possession of contraband noted. Other arrests, 2000, DUI liquor, drugs, vapors, combo, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2012, criminal damage, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2013, theft, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. He has a GB score of G2, V3.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Vaughn. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections with an approved placement to reside at 16220 North 7th Street, apartment 2129 in Phoenix, Arizona. No other residence was reported. Mr. Vaughn, is this the only place that you lived when you were outside of prison?
Yes, sir.
We have employment notes that you referred to Maricopa Skills Center. We don't have any notation of employment before you were missing, so were you working at all?
It's a job that I got while I was at the second chance program in Lewis.
Thank you, sir. For the programming note that you referred to TASC for your random analysis with the color code pink, no samples were taken before you absconded. I will ask, did you have any ongoing issues with drugs or alcohol?
No.
We have a follow-up note that Corps Officer Smith received a phone call from the Phoenix Police Department stating that your kids went to school and told teachers that your dad had just got released from prison, was at the house having verbal arguments with your victim, Kimberly Rankin, at 17223 North Cape Creek Road, Unit 24, Phoenix, Arizona. There were no charges, but did you reestablish contact with Ms. Rankin?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
See, I got my letter from her, and I was actually invited, and I took food stamps and did other things that she was requested from me to the house, and yes, while we were there, I guess, you know, we did have a small argument, but nothing came of it. Just agreements of a couple.
Well, it looks like that there was a police report number, but then we have a notation that no charges are pending. So were the charges dropped quickly? Yes. What happened?
Yes, there was that.
You were missing from community supervision for 14 days, sir. What happened during that time?
I wasn't missing. I really reported my 7 day out, and then I think I misread what he had written on the paperwork about the second meeting, but I called and kept in contact with him. There was a point in time that I did not have a phone, and I didn't inform him. He said he rescheduled it for that Monday, and that Monday is when I showed up and when I was arrested.
So you showed up at their office and were arrested because you'd been missing for a period of time? Is that correct?
I had made phone contact with him. I had phone contact with him. I think there was one day that he had written on my paper that I was supposed to show up, and I didn't, and I called him and informed him that I read it wrong, or, you know, I missed it, and then he rescheduled it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Vaughn. I'm going to ask our community corrections officer if there's any information on the promo notes.
I'll give a couple of the promo notes. I also wanted to, for the record, he was 4/5/18. He signed conditions which stated that he would not have any contact through verbal written or through reporting with the victim of current offense or any prior offense, to include Kimberly Rankin. Kimberly Rankin was a victim of, so he was not allowed to have contact with her.
And were there any notes about him trying to make contact with his...
On 4/12, after receiving that information, on 4/13, P.O. Smith attempted to contact the offender's wife, the victim, and no answer. So he left a detailed message that if there was contact, to notify. On 4/15, P.O. Smith attempted to make personal contact with the offender at his residence located 16220 North 7th Street, number 2129 Phoenix, Arizona. On arrival, P.O. Smith attempted contact with the offender. No contact was made. P.O. Smith left the notice of non-contact compliance on the door. Contained in the letter was the director for the offender report in person to Mesa Regional Probe Office at 460 North Mesa Drive, Suite 211, Mesa, Arizona, 85201, on 416 by 212 p.m. On 417, there's a note stating the offender failed to report to the Mesa Regional Probe Office on 416. On 418, P.O. Smith attempted a telephonic contact with the offender's wife again, received no answer. On 418, P.O. Smith contacted the Banner Desert Medical Center, spoke to a hospital employee, stated the offender was not a patient. He then contacted the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, confirmed that he was not there. I see no entry in here that he had any contact with the offender.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. And just for my understanding, it would sound like that he eventually showed up to the parole office, but there was only one for him because he had absconded.
Correct. On 4/30/2018, he self-surrendered at the Mesa Regional Parole Office and was taken into custody.
Thank you, Mr. Vaughn. Okay, thank you, Mr. Turner. Mr. Vaughn, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Okay, I have no questions from fellow board members. We're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you will repeat anything that you've already shared with us, but this is your hearing. So is there any other information that you feel is important for us to know or understand?
Just the fact that one other thing at that time, I did have a death in the family, and that was, I think that was part of the reason why he was unable to make contact. I understand I wasn't supposed to have contact with Kimberly, but Betty's my wife and those are my children, and I was only doing what I felt as a man I should do, which was helping financially, and that's basically all I was doing.
Well, thank you for being honest with the board, Mr. Vaughn. There certainly are restrictions associated with community supervision, but I think I can at least appreciate your being straightforward about your decision. So the board will be going into this, into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes under the open meeting laws of Arizona? So, Mr. Vaughn, if you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case. And I think it comes down to, and by the way, I want to give full credit to Mr. Vaughn for being so pleasant with the board. He was very straightforward with us. It looks like that he was trying to seek employment when he was on community corrections, or under community supervision. Unfortunately, along the way, he ended up absconding for 14 days and in violation of his conditions of supervision by having contact with the victim. And while it sounds like that there was some good faith in that decision, him wanting to support, that's still a pretty strict guideline when it comes to victims. So at this point, with him having 4 months left on his sentence, I'm not finding him a suitable candidate for community supervision, but I am certainly open to the input of my colleagues. Hearing no further input, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W1215, our discussion with Mr. Vaughn, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Vaughn was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed, was about to lapse in a commercial company, inasmuch that he was or had absconded from supervision for 14 days. I will say that he also had a past of absconding from supervision, as well as having made contact with the victim in violation of his conditions, and that is my motion.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. White, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Vaughn, your supervision has been revoked, and you will be released on or about October 17, 2018. I recognize that may sound like a long way away, but it is a matter of weeks, or just a bit more than 4 months. So we encourage you to put together a plan for your return for the community, to seek any programming that's available to you inside the Department of Corrections, and hopefully you will have a productive and safe return to the community. In closing, we wish to see you succeed in the community. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and Mr. Vaughn, thank you for being so pleasant with the board today.
Thank you.